Have you ever been lost? Really lost? As a child, one of my brothers went to a school birthday party, a school friend's birthday party. And while we were waiting for it to finish, myself and another brother decided we wanted to go for a walk in a wood near where the party was. My parents allowed us to go and they told us what time we had to be back in the car. So we set off. It was great fun exploring a wood, and my father's farm was on a disused airfield. There weren't any woods left on the land. They'd all been taken to make the runways. The problem was we walked in quite a long way. We turned a few corners and eventually we had absolutely no idea where we actually were. We were also aware that time was running out, couldn't find a way out, and then started panicking. Eventually, we thought we needed to pray. We asked God to show us the way out, and within seconds, we could see the edge of the wood and managed to get out in time. I'm not sure that we thanked God for getting us out for the right reason. I think we were just so pleased to have escaped a big telling off. So thinking about the lost son or the prodigal son, and the word prodigal means wasteful. You all know that story of how the younger son wanted his share, one third of the inheritance, something that would have usually happened on the death of the father. The older son would get two thirds of the inheritance. It was perfectly legal, though, for the younger son to ask for his share of his father's wealth, but it wasn't very loving to so do. The younger son was rebelling against all he knew to be good for him. He wanted to live his life his way. We're always heading into trouble when we value things more than people, pleasure more than duty, and distant places more than the ones we have right at home. Our younger son wanted his own way, so he rebelled against his father and he broke his father's heart. He had to learn the hard way. You cannot enjoy the things that money can buy if you ignore the things that money cannot buy. Life in the far country was not all that he'd hoped for. Money ran out, friends left him, there was a famine in the country he'd gone to, and he was forced to do for a stranger what he would have never, ever had to do for his father: work. Sin works like that in our lives, you know. If we reject God's will for us, sin promises freedom, but it brings slavery. It promises success, but it brings failure. It promises life, but it brings slavery. The wages of sin is death. The son thought he would find himself, but ended up losing himself. When God is left out of any of our lives, enjoyment becomes enslavement. Eventually, the young man changed his mind about himself and his situation. He admitted he was a sinner. He confessed that his father was a very generous man, and being a servant at home was better than freedom in a far country. It's God's goodness, not just man's badness, that leads us to repentance. If the boy had thought only about himself, he would have despaired. But painful circumstances helped him to see his father in a new way, and this brought him hope. if his father was so good to his servants, maybe he would forgive his own son. If he had stopped there, the boy would have experienced regret and remorse. But true repentance involves the will as well as the mind and the emotions. So he said, I will get up, I will go, I will say. Our resolutions may be noble, but unless we act on them, they can never themselves bring any permanent good. If repentance is truly the work of God, then the sinner will obey God and put saving faith in Jesus. The son was lost, but Jesus says to each one of us, I am the way. He was ignorant about life away. He decided that being at home was far better than the mess he was in. But Jesus says, I am the truth. He was to all intents and purposes dead to his family. But Jesus says, I am the life. There is only one way to come to the Father, and that is through faith in Jesus. The lost son found his senses again, his life again, and his family again. And that's exactly what happens to us when we find Jesus. God will lay on for us a party in heaven. The angels will all shout for joy as a sinner returns home to Jesus, just as the Father did with his son. Have you ever realized the Father never even let his son finish his confession? He called the servants, bring clothes, get his friends in, let's have lovely celebrations, love and assurance for the future. His father didn't ask him to earn forgiveness, just as no amount of good works will get us to heaven. We have to come to Jesus, just as that son had to go to his father. But what about the older son, who had virtues that were most commendable? He worked hard, he always obeyed his father. He never brought disgrace to his home or his village, and must have had enough friends to plan an enjoyable party. He seems like a solid citizen compared to his brother, almost a saint. But Jesus commands that we love God and others. The older son at this point certainly didn't love his brother. He would not forgive his brother who had wasted the family's inheritance and disgraced his family's name. But neither would he forgive his father, who had graciously forgiven the young man those very sins. He wouldn't even join in the celebrations for his brother who'd been lost and was now found. He missed the joy of forgiving his brother and restoring broken fellowship. The older brother had a problem with forgiveness and with pride. He'd never disobeyed his father, but was his heart in whatever he did? Was he always dreaming about throwing that large party for all of his friends? And he was so angry with his younger brother for getting all the attention and even receiving special gifts from his father. As far as the elder brother was concerned, his younger brother deserved none of it. Had he been faithful? No. Then why should he be treated with such kindness and love? Had he obeyed his father? No. Why should he be treated with more love? How gracious and patient our Father is with our weaknesses. How easy it is for any of us to resent Cambridge. She was lost, but the street pastors found her.
In fact, we actually enabled the police in the whole of Cambridgeshire to stop having to look for her. She was unable to think coherently. She thought taking her own life was what she needed to do. She was lonely. No money, no phone, no friends, no love. She'd rowed with her parents and run away from home earlier that day. We were able to bring the police, who'd been out looking for Naomi for several hours, to Naomi, so that they could take her home again. I wonder what her parents' reaction was when she was taken back to them. Our prayer for Naomi is that her parents received her back with love and not accusations. She was able to receive the help that she needed for all of her problems. But most of all, that she will be able to find Jesus in her own life, and maybe even through the small pocket testament I gave her as she was getting into the police van to go back home. She was lost in Cambridge, but her whole life needed to be given to Jesus in order for her to be able to make sense of it, to use it, and to tell others how Jesus had saved her. I wish I could say all that happened to Naomi, but I may never know. But maybe we were one small piece in that jigsaw of life and what it means and the importance of Jesus as her Lord. Are you lost today? Are you still seeking earth's pleasure rather than finding the love of Jesus for yourself and the real reason for living and for life itself? And my prayer is that God will bless each one of you over this next week as you live your life for Him.